now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 517, recorded live on November 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Ted Hart Hat with
Scott Burks.
And it's 427.
So you can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo or our PayPal logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. And yes, even though my voice, I think, is still a little bit raspy, I got just a little in the throat, I am finally coming to over to being human, which is so good after a month. It's been terrible.
Yeah. So it's Christmas time here almost. Huh? What do you say?
I don't know. The holidays are here. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And
I had to change my normal radio station again.
Did you?
So every year, this time of year, they switch it over to nothing but Christmas music.
All the time.
I don't mind a little bit of Christmas music, but, you know, a little bit of Mariah Carey here, you know, two or three times an hour, but every freaking song.
I don't want a pot of this for Christmas.
It's Channel 4 on Sirius XM, but, like, what's weird is, you know, it's always been 93.9 here in Chicago.
Yeah.
It starts, you know, November 1st now, and it goes through Christmas. And it's all, they've always had like the same 20 songs.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
20 years, the same 20 songs. They just wash, rinse, and repeat. Okay. And I know them all. And then SiriusXM Channel 4 has got.
They go back to just about everything that there is.
They've never heard. We're driving to Michigan last. And we're listening to the whole thing the whole way up. And like, there's just like jingles. What was that? I'd ask her, but she went back upstairs. Like, it was this one song. Like, we both never heard of it. Never.
Yeah.
And we heard three different people sing the song. Still never heard of it.
Wow.
I'm like, you're going. I'm Jewish. You should know this stuff. I'm excused now. You got zero excuse. Like,
yeah.
So it's kudos to them for pulling out the, old school never heard of songs.
Yeah. My brother runs basically a farmer's store, I guess, that you can put it, feed store and all that up in Michigan. And he will text me. It's like, dang it. And it's like, what? They switched the station of this music inside the store each year, same time. And well, then
that,
it's.
Toby was pissed because, like, Channel 4 was 40s music and now it's not. And you know, my 12 year old son likes two kinds of today's music and 40s music. That's the music he likes.
What kind of music is 40s music?
Like big band. Like big band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like really big band, you know, like that kind of like that 40s kind of music, yeah. Before you know, before like the, you know, the rock and roll came, it was all big band.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I just, you know, I can't, like, I couldn't get Vince and Barney.
The orchestra,
I can't
the think orchestra, of orchestra, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. The
orchestra, yeah. Oh, that music. Go figure, my 12-year-old. Yeah, that and yet he likes Tupac. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The weirdest combination. You know?
Holy cow, that's something. Yeah, it's just how it is. Hey, Scott, you're getting a little bit, a lot of Cylon, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of echoing in. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's getting there. The interesting thing around here in North Kakalaki is that all the fall colors are out now. all the trees that you normally early in fall, you get the red maples and that bright red and the bright golds and all the rest of that stuff that you have with it. They're coming out now. Mm-hmm. There's some trees out here that is absolutely gorgeous. And it's like, it's going to be December in a couple days. I don't understand, but yeah, it's just beautiful. Just gorgeous colors with it.
Yeah, well, all of our leaves are falling now. So we went through the color change a few weeks ago. So yeah.
Yep.
That seems kind of late in the year for you guys.
So, oh, yeah.
Isn't that more? Okay. Indiana, I know it's more in the late September, early October time frame.
Right.
But yeah. I'm thinking you guys shouldn't be that far behind.
No, right. And actually,
I was raking leaves 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have leaves, but most of the trees are empty now.
Yeah, when I used to work up by Oxford, Michigan, Oxford, North Carolina, which is not too far from the Virginia border, that time of year, it looks like a Disney cartoon. It looked like Disney artists took a paintbrush and went flish, twidge, 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 and just gorgeous stuff. But right now, the colors are I would say, peak. It's that brilliant with it.
Well, I was up in Michigan and visiting Daryl Wattenberg. You know, and I always say any morning you wake up, you know, in the house of Daryl Wattenberg, you reevaluate your life decisions that you've made.
The marriage is going that well. I'm congratulating him, by the way.
Over the weekend, we had a great time.
Yep.
Got some Michigan caches, went to the event for his marriage.
Aww.
And then it starts snowing. I'm like, oh, goddamn.
My brother, who lives about 300 miles north of there, he's already built his second snowman, his kids.
Yeah.
So that's too much.
Halfway home, it snowed all through Michigan. Then we hit Indiana, and then the snow stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I want snow, I'll drive an hour. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 90 minutes to South Lake Tahoe, an hour to the closest ski area. If I want snow, I could drive there.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like I don't want it falling down on me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why it's nice where I'm at. I'm 3 hours from the mountains and I'm 2 hours from the ocean, so whichever one I want to go to is all right with me.
Right.
Good stuff. Okay, let's see. Geocaching wise, I'm literally switching jobs. Today was the last day for my job that I had that 3-month contract, and I'm going into a new job Monday. I love when it does this. Mm-hmm. This is so nice. So I over the week I was picking up a last couple of geocaches in the area during lunchtime, and now I'm going to be going to an area that I haven't. I've geocached a little bit years ago, so I'm sure they got plenty of stuff to go around and find new geocaches, which I love. So that I'm looking forward to that.
How far of a drive is that for you?
This one's going to be bit because it's all the way in Durham. And Durham from here in excellent, there isn't a car on the road. I can get to work in 45 minutes.
Wow.
Normal
hour commute.
Hour 15 easy. So what I'm going to be doing is going to work like an hour early. And meeting the traffic there, and then probably
doing the 7 to 3.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going to try to do is get in there and just get early to miss it. Because if you get stuck on 40, which is what I have to do to get from here to there and back, it's log jam. It's the worst traffic in Raleigh. So yeah, loads of fun. I'm just going to miss it. So whatever I have to do to get around it, if I gotta get a helicopter, I'll do that.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that. I'm sorry. I'm just I cannot stand long commutes. I cannot stand stop and go commutes.
Yeah. Yeah, driving from where I live now to Oxford, where I was talking about just a little while ago for Revlon, that was an hour ride one way in good traffic. So
yeah, mine, I used to have 45. Now, what's half an hour?
Yeah.
Not a bad day.
Yeah.
It used to be longer. When I lived in the house, it was much longer.
Yeah.
I'm a lot closer now.
Well, if this actually turns out permanent, we're just going to move out, head a little out west. Well,
yeah, you were talking about moving anyway.
Yeah. So it's going to be one of those things. We'll probably head over towards Cary, which is kind of a midway point for us. And there will be a lot closer for aiming for where she is cause, to work, and it'll cut my time in half as well. So, yep, all part of the fun.
My commute's 12 minutes when traffic's normal and 18 minutes when there's been an accident on the freeway.
You suck. Anyways.
Yes, here's the thing. You got the job first and then found the house.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You true. Can't do it that way. That's kind of...
I definitely looked at the traffic and everything else when I was picking the house.
Yeah.
Right. It's very easy when
it's the way it should be done, but things change, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You should have got right next door. Should have walked away. Jesse literally works a mile away from the house. Yeah. Literally a mile. Yeah. She literally ride her bike to work.
Ride her bike.
And her goal, she's like, I want to work there. And when you're in the front of the yard, you could see a building. She's like, I want to work there. I won't be satisfied till I'm there. I'm like, you work a mile away.
Yeah.
You'd be getting greedy now? Like, you're like, someday you're gonna get another job. You have to drive 15, 20 minutes. You're gonna be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, right now the car won't even warm up by the time you get there. I mean,
I
could have bought a house a mile away, but they're all and the same price, but they're all stacked on top of each other, and it's like, yeah, I want a little bit more space. I'm sorry, I'll drive 15 minutes and have a little bit more space.
Yeah, well, when things fall off in California, anyways, you got to make sure you got that boundary right.
True.
Yeah, nothing beats work from home, man. When I did that for, like 12 years.
Oh,
13 years.
It's the way to do it.
That was none. That was always nice.
So,
get out of bed, roll out of bed, and walk over to the desk and go to work.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, that's the way it should be. That'll be my retirement. It's like, all right, I'm up.
Retire. I would say I will die at my desk.
Well, that's what it's going to be. We're all in IT, so it's like either that or one day we'll go out on a day that's too sunny and we'll just explode. So it's just either way.
until ageism creeps into my workload and I can't. Well, I'm hoping that it doesn't.
Yep. So how is Mr. Darrell? And I know I was joking before, and absolutely congratulations to him and his new bride.
He's doing good. He's married.
I know. He's one of us now.
I'm one of me. I'm not married.
Yeah, well, you're lucky yet.
You're all suckers.
You know it's going to happen. You know.
So does he now have an electronic budget limit?
His house is like gadget central.
I want to see that conversation.
They're everywhere.
I want to be a fly on the wall when that discussion comes up. So, dear.
His house, of course. You're in Daryl's house, so it's the Amazon Echo across the board. Alexa's everywhere. Alexa, turn off the lights. Alexa, we're leaving. And she powers down everything. Alexa, or Alexa computer, or Alexa, I can't remember what he calls it. He Alexa, because we did a podcast. We did a What's Up
Right.
While I was there. And Alexa Showtime or something like that, and that brings the levels down to 68 degrees in the house for the computers and all that. It's crazy. It's the way he does it. It's crazy.
When you hear everything whir and go, he's got enough stuff going.
Well, I'm like, of course you have Daryl, so I'm like, I want Alexa. And Daryl's like, Daryl's giving me nice things. I'm like, no, Daryl, I don't want to throw my lights off. I just want to ask him what the weather's like outside.
Yeah.
In the morning, I go, Alexa, what's the weather outside?
Yeah.
And I was like, Alexa, lights off in the kitchen. Well, he's upstairs.
I'm perfectly capable of talking to my phone, and my phone doesn't leave my side. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but your phone doesn't turn the lights off in the kitchen for you. It's a difference.
It is.
It can if I put in the switches.
Yeah.
He put in the switches. Yeah.
He put in the switches. I'm not gonna. I know how to flip a switch on and off.
I don't want to spend...
This is a wonderful little tool right here. It's called a finger.
Yes. I don't want to spend $400 to turn my thermostat to 72.
Yeah.
You know what? When you have no children, you could do that. That's what I said. God bless you. No children.
Yes.
Yeah. Must be nice to live a nice life. I would say bachelorhood, but he's not a bachelor anymore, so... A childless wonder.
I can't wait to see what he's like in 5 years.
But it was great. It's Daryl. I love Daryl.
Yes, I do too.
He's coming in for a couple weeks. So he's coming in a couple weeks for geocaching.
Awesome.
Okay. That's cool.
Yep. And then I'll see him again. He's coming in. Poor Daryl. See, this is how I get him back. He's coming in for geocaching day. 2 weeks later, he's coming in for Toby's bar mitzvah.
Wow. Is he taking the train?
What?
Is he taking the train?
I don't know.
The Chicago train. Yeah, that's always the big thing.
Driving? I don't know.
Yeah,
I was coming in. Christmas.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yep,
that's great. Anything unusual or unique? And I've found certain things in Michigan that they don't do in other places. With that, did you find any geocaches where the logbooks were in like plastic containers, where they're actually it's a container in a container? I've seen a lot of that in Michigan. To help keep the logs. No,
we did a couple. We did a bunch of puzzle. Some kind of the guy's name, Puzzle Mike or something like that.
Ah.
Or something. I don't remember the cashier's name. The famous puzzle guy in Michigan in that area.
That's did awesome.
Speaking of containers and containers, they had ammo cans inside ammo cans at Costco for $14.99.
Really? Wow. Like a little nested ammo can box there?
Yeah, you got 50 cal, and then I don't know what the smaller cal one that's inside 30. Of it, 30. And, but, yeah, so nested in there for $14.99.
That's pretty good right there.
And I almost got some, but it was like, so my wife was shopping, so she was buying the stuff, and I was like, do I ask her?
Like,
what are you going to do with the ammo cans that you already got in the damn garage?
I know, in the garage.
Yeah, but those are different.
I just bought two 50 cals. They were like $10 at some store here. Somebody put it on Facebook. I ran out there, got the last two.
Oh, wow.
Metal ammo cans, 50 cals.
Yeah.
All I literally did was add them to the shelf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then, yeah.
You can't get into my closet because there's so much stuff.
I might have to sneak back out there and just buy them and then stick them on.
Now in you're my talking. Shelf. That's how it is. Be a man there, Chad. Come on, mail it.
Up and say, honey, I'm buying these. Don't ask your wife. You tell your wife.
That's right. Be a man. And after you get off the couch, you get off the couch in a couple of months, it'll be fine.
Take your tootsies out of her purse. Put them back on. Say, I'm buying these.
That's right. Damn it. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. So how about you, Taz? What have you been up to?
Not too much. It's been raining and stuff. Managed to get out and grab a couple of caches. And But raining. When everything gets slick and wet out here, a lot more. Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
I would say compare. So Houston, it rains a lot, but then it dries out fairly quickly, and you don't really have hills here. Everything's a hill. So when it gets wet, it gets slick.
Thank you.
All right.
So. Yeah, I've been not caching as much as I would like to. So, but I'll get out a bit more here soon.
You guys out there use the term slickery?
No,
it's mighty slickery.
Ours, it's wet pine needles. That just makes it instant slip and slide.
Right?
Yeah, I've been down some instant slip and slides, my ass will attest to the impact.
Yay!
I know.
Wow. Yes.
Are you trying for that?
Yes.
No, I'm not trying for it. It's just coming out.
And it's
coming out that way.
It's just that kind of thing. It's the holidays, you know, that tripatran or whatever they call it that comes from Turkey. It just
tryptophan.
Yeah, it gets people nuts.
My coffee might be a little bit Irish today.
Is it? Oh, all right. So he's going to be slurring later. Sorry about that, folks.
On it. What is the C for, Chad?
What's that?
What is the C on your cup?
Chad? Chad or Courtney?
Does he realize he has a C cup?
Yes. Yes, I realize that. My wife bought them for me, so...
I'm just saying, man.
But you had two C cups.
She bought one like, with the letter C like, on it for my son, one with the letter C on it for me.
All right. We'll leave it right there. I think we're going to bring this up because this is kind of cute. Sarah's not with us tonight. She had some stuff to do. But I'm going to bring up the screen share of what she has.
She's on assignment.
She's on assignment.
Why are you saying she
is? Yes. Yeah, she's on assignment. So let me bring this up. This is kind of cute.
That's my question. And I wanted to ask her, what does that kind of kiwi taste like?
What kind of kiwi?
Yeah, what you're looking at, it just says, from her, beautiful weather this weekend, so finally made it up into the hills around Wellington, a new puzzle in the hut, and I started to set heading up Mount Climby. Was feeling pretty good until is it Climby? Climby? I'm not sure. Feeling
keep
pretty
it realized with an S. Isn't that adorable?
It is. Feeling pretty good until I realized I'd done less than a third of them. Oh, and only taken 4 years. And this is either a kiwi bird or somebody taking a whiz. I'm not quite sure if it's or maybe throwing up. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to assume kiwi.
It's a kiwi.
Okay.
I would hope it's a kiwi.
I'm hoping it's a kiwi. Or something with a third leg. I am not sure. So we'll just leave that there. So, yeah, that's thank you, Sarah, for that. That's awesome going through, and she finished her kiwi. Cool stuff. So
I'm wondering what deep-fried kiwi would taste like.
You know.
They're like aren't they like about 2 inches long? Aren't they like these little itty-bitty?
Like a chick?
Yeah, isn't it like a chick?
I think they're a little bit bigger than that.
Are they? Obviously, they're popular in New Zealand because they all refer to everybody as Kiwis. So, either way, I don't know. I imagine if you fricassee enough of them, you got a meal. Send all hate mail to headhardhat@geocachingpodcast.com. I'm just saying.
Fricassee. I haven't heard that in a while.
Fricasseeing. Get my Bugs Bunny going.
Well played.
All right. Thank you. Moving on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is episode 308, Geocaching Australia 1. So kangaroo as opposed to kiwi. We're looking at geocaching.com.au in this week's show per Mr. Daryl. So
that's a show?
Apparently. So
who's
that's
on
what
this show?
I'm not sure. He doesn't say it's not you and it's not me. So
it's not me.
Chad,
I heard you were on the show. I listened to that show. I listened to your show.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's like
you're
all right.
You're on Charo. Well done.
Gucci, Gucci. GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. We are in Turkey Overlord. Overlord? Overload. Turkey
oh,
Overlord.
God, Turkey Overlord.
Ah! Turkey. No show this week because no show this week because I will be on trip to fan. So that's no show this week, but we'll start up next week for the GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. So yeah, good stuff. Let's see. Let's move on to I've got this all set for Mr. Scott. He did not want to have another sad Scott. So let's hit this.
No one likes a sad Scott.
No.
I got mail. Yay! I got mail. Yay!
Yay! Here we go. This is from Tim Green, a.k.a. From Rockford, Michigan. He says, and he ends up, P.S. No snow here yet. There's snow.
There's over snow. There. Don't even lie to us. We know there's
snow. Don't lie
snow.
To me. I was there. I was there, Tim. Don't lie. Says, welcome back. You've done a lot of shows on trip planning, but I haven't heard one planning. Unless, of course, I missed it. I don't think we have we?
Not in a while.
On route planning?
No, nope, not in a while.
Tomato, tomato? I know where I want to go. I have all the stops, at least the primary ones identified. Now I need to find the most efficient route possible that gets me from a starting point to a destination point. Oh, yeah, and it has to be free because we have all recently learned geocaching is free, right?
Like free puppies.
Right? Google Maps does a good job, but you're only limited to 10 stops. This is true. Jesse can attest to this. I was currently trying to plan for an attempt at the GeoTour G-GT77, Butler County Donut Trail. That's a mouthful thing. It has 15 stops plus starting at my home address and ending there too, so I need 17 stops. Google Search has revealed several tools for planning a route, but they all want an address. Now I have to figure out how to convert coordinates into street address. I did find a couple that took coordinates, but they were also limited to the number of stops on the route. What's a cacher to do? Any hints, tips, applications, or other tools would greatly be appreciated. Thanks for the show and hopefully some suggestions. Tim Green.
AKA Merlin 1392. Yeah, very
cool. Tim.
Go for it.
I consulted the Darylopedia. I called my good buddy Daryl. Because if anybody would know, it would be Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Tim? You'd be happy to know there is a website to do that. And guess what? It is also free. It is www.cacheter.no. I'm going to spell that for you. www.cacheter.no. If you go there, it just does that. I've never used it before. I've never used a site, but I actually have good. I have heard good things. Daryl said that he's messed around with it. And get this, Podcacher just did a show on it this week.
Wow!
So you can go to Sunny and Sandy out in Sunny San Diego, and you can listen to their show on it the whole this week. You get to hear all about the app.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Please do.
There you go, Tim.
I wonder if you can upload a GPX to that since it's cache related.
I'm sure you absolutely can. It's a whole, you know, it's a geocaching developer thing. So I'm sure you
That's
absolutely
cool.
can. It is cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I
answered Tim's question really well.
Huh? Very well. Thank you, Scott. That was awesome.
I know. I'd put a second one out there, but it's not 100% free unless you use the free version of GSAC and wait for the little timer.
Uh-huh.
To come up there, but GSAC has a tool that's in there that if you have a file of caches that you want to route, there is a app, or not an app, but a macro that you download and you run it, and it runs it actually on the internet, and it routes your route for you. And I've been using that for, say, about 5 years.
Huh, now,
Jessie has used that in the past. She has used GSAC in the past. You locked the door.
Yes, wife Amy is not happy with me. Christmas is coming and I'm screwed. Apparently, Scrooge? I'm Scrooge too.
You were live on a podcast.
Yes, she decided to make known that I locked the front door for her when she came home.
Pissed off wife, dude.
Yeah, welcome to marriage. Daryl, wait.
Have fun. It's all fun during the honeymoon stage, pal.
Love you too. Oh, God. Well, you know, the couch is very comfortable, so that's always good.
Right? I've been with Jesse 5 years come December.
Uh-huh.
Five years.
That's amazing.
What held 5 years ago?
Lord. I know it. Well, that's the same for us. I mean, for marriage-wise, I mean, and we're still talking. Sort of.
Been for 5 years.
I know it.
Now it's getting. Now we can't get married because that one's just awkward.
That's like 20 in marriage years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like too late now. The only way we can ever get married is if we get married on our anniversary date of when we met, because then we're gonna have two. Because we're celebrating this one for 5 years already.
Right.
We got to get married that day, or it's 2 days. Like, you can't suddenly change that day. So,
yeah. Then again, that's two opportunities, Scott, and I'm just saying, you know?
Two opportunities for me to spend money.
Oh, that too.
You're looking the other way. You're going the other route, right? See, I'm not married. I can get it. I'm married. I'm not married. I get it a lot still.
Yeah.
That's different.
We'll have to talk later. We'll have to talk.
Shop's closed. Shop's closed.
Are there pictures? I'm just saying. Anyways, moving on. Let's see.
See what happens when there's no women on the podcast? It all goes to hell.
It all goes right back to the boys' club. All right, Mr. Taz, we've got this. If he's got a chunk here, just pick the parts that you want on here. But let me hit this little button.
What? What are you talking about?
You'll see for the news.
Attention, cache owner. This new dashboard tool is for you. How big is the universe?
Wow.
Why are we here? What would geocaching be like without cache owners? These are questions that we do not know the answer to. And let me zoom in because I'm having a hard time reading this.
Wow.
What
must be tough getting old, Taz.
Yes, I need my reading glasses. What we know for sure is that geocaching would not be here without the universe? Surprise, surprise. Okay, basically what's happening is they've added a new owner maintenance tool to the dashboard in one or more of the geocaches.
They totally did. I'm looking at it right now. You're right.
Yeah.
So, I couldn't tell on mine because I didn't have anything reported against me. So,
oh, so you do maintenance on yours? Is that what you say?
Oh, I do have one.
I have other people do maintenance for me.
You own one geocache that may need your help.
Yeah, me too.
Wow.
So after I read this on here, is like I better go check to see if any of mine need it. It's like, nope. Okay, I'm good. If one or more of your other geocaches may have a problem, geocache owners will now see a widget on the top of their dashboard. A problem with the cache could be a full or soggy logbook, a change to the hiding location, a broken or missing cache container, blah, blah, blah.
Soggy logbook?
Soggy logbook.
Yes, a.k.a. paper mache.
That's a good nickname. That was Taz's nickname in high school.
Just add glue.
Paper mache.
So, yeah.
Wait. What am I cache? My cache has two DNFs on it, and it goes into the queue there. Really? Oh, two DNFs?
It shouldn't do it just based on DNFs, because I've got a couple that have two DNFs. Someone had to have reported it.
See, this is irritating. I've got a write note. Nope, it's not there. I have a DNF. I go check it. Oh, well, it's there, guys. It's all wellness check. All's well, I put. And then it gets found once, and then two DNFs. It's like this algorithm can't look and see, like, hey, maybe it's a difficult to find cache.
I don't think algorithms are their main forte lately, just saying, for geocaching.com. Like,
this is how they – so how do I get this off?
Apparently, you have to do something.
I need to maintain your caches.
It is maintained. I guarantee you it's there. I guarantee you.
I think if you put a writer's note to them and say, hey, by the way, this is hunky-dory.
Yeah, do an owner maintenance thing. Yeah. Oh, it's there. It's just a cock hide. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a nice notice to let you know that in case, because you may not have normally figured out that you had issues with your geocaches, so the new dashboard is a way of just sitting there in big red flashing letters saying, you need maintenance.
For those of you that have 1,000 caches out there and never maintain them,
it's
going to flash forever.
Yes.
Yeah, but when you have, like, you know, three kids go at the same time and they have a total of 6 finds and they all DNF it, you're going to get flagged.
That's the problem.
Is it saying that it's going to flag it just on DNFs? Because I'm not saying that. I've got a few out there that get high DNF rates and I didn't get flagged.
It does say cache owners can add the caches to a list. Is that?
Can add it to a list?
After fixing the problem with the cache, they can log a maintenance.
Right. Then that's how you get
it. And that's how you get rid of it.
Yeah. Log owner maintenance. Now, when someone does something and that indicates that it needs maintenance, I have someone maintain it for me, or I maintain it myself, then I will log the maintenance. It's been maintained.
Now, I think this is a great feature for it. Don't get me wrong. I may be knocking it, but I think it's a great feature. If, and only if somebody maybe puts a needs maintenance log on there. There's clearly no needs maintenance log on this cache.
Oh, good
I would
point.
Say if somebody put that, then it should show up. But 2DNF should make it show up.
Right.
It's a cockeye, you know?
I would agree with that. I need to look at my geocaches because I know I've got several out there that get high DNFs that
they do. They do talk in here with the algorithm, quote unquote, and saying it's based on a combination of logs and circumstances. And I'm looking that up now. Logs and circumstances is what they have. And then when you click on the link for it, and we'll have the link for it in our show notes, it takes you to the geocache health score. And they have a ton of stuff in here, but I don't see the actual it talks about geocaching health score being about DNS, needs maintenance, needs archiving, support for cache owners, maintenance. But it doesn't actually show you the reasons that would cause you to get this particular thing. So I'm not quite exactly sure, just on what I'm reading right now on the blog. Or on the notes for geocaching.com. So yeah, we'll have to look into it and find out exactly what causes it is, because it says this algorithm is based on a combination of logs and circumstances, including did not finds, need maintenance, needs archiving, caches that have not been found in a long time, difficulty and terrain rating is what they discuss in here for geocaching or geocache health scores. So
interesting.
So DNFs might be part of it, but two, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds excessive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, that's literally all. There's a find and two DNFs.
Yeah.
It's got it flagged.
Yeah. So we'll have to see.
And maybe it's. I mean, granted, there was one DNF in January and one DNF in October.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that has. I mean, the cache doesn't get hit that much. Everybody in the area has hit it already.
Yeah.
You know? So it's
Two Wombles in the chat room says, check the attributes. There may be a needs maintenance attribute there.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I'll look at that. Maybe there is. Yeah.
Good point. Thanks, Wombles.
So real quickly, I have an update, by the way.
Yes.
Everybody remember when I talked about in March of last year, my Fisher-Price Man travel bug.
Yes.
That I had everybody try and watch. And my goal was to get it to OBEEP over in Nottingham, England.
Yes.
And it's made its way around the United States and made to Germany. Guess what? It's in England.
Oh, wow.
It is 2 hours from Mark.
Wow.
2 hours.
That is so cool.
What's up, Internet?
I've never had a travel bug reach its destination before. I'm so close.
Somebody's going to pick it up and take it to Cleveland.
Right? Some asshole's going to pick it up and get it to Japan.
It's so cute. It should be in America.
So anybody in England, go get that thing. Bring it to Mark.
Yes.
It's more likely to end up back in Germany.
Yes, because that is the party place for travel bugs.
Oh, God.
I know.
I've had one that has managed to make it out of Germany at three times, and each time it invariably goes straight back to Germany.
Yep.
So they're like, they love their travel bugs, basically.
They do.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's got 21,000 miles on it, that sucker.
Yep.
Put it out in March of 16.
Wow. That's amazing.
We've been tracking it for March of 16. So it's almost there. Come on, baby. It's almost there. Yeah. Sorry.
Good stuff.
Update for Fisher-Price, man.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to the topic for tonight, GCPC episode 517, Top Things to Be Thankful For with Geocaching. So, yeah, it's tomorrow's Turkey Day. Thanksgiving for us folks in the United States. And Thanksgiving's just that. It's one of those things that you go through, and besides eating way too much and a lot of folks drinking too much and then eating more, it's also for being thankful for all the things that that you're blessed with. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting tonight if the guys here would go over some of the stuff that they're thankful for when it comes to geocaching and all the experience that they've had. Now, some of the easy ones that we could start off with would be things like I would be thankful for all the places I've been while geocaching. Think of all the places you have gone and experienced when it comes to geocaching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Travel.
Oh, yeah. Travel. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and just seeing local sites that you'd never see.
Yeah. I mean, I know at events where I've talked to people where they've traveled all 50 states because of geocaching, that kind of thing, where they've just gone all over.
I hit 25. I'm halfway there.
Yeah.
25 states. And most of them because of geocaching. I don't think I've cached before geocaching. No, Arizona. I've been in Arizona. I've never cached there.
Yeah.
That's about it. But other than that, I think I've been in every state I've cached in.
Yeah. So it's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And just traveling around and seeing, you know, driving, you know, and seeing. Seeing the United States rather than and Canada for that matter, you know, rather than just flying from here to Florida. You know, I drove to Florida and gashed along the way, you know.
And hit Alabama on the way.
And it, you know, and the cache is actually taking me to very interesting places there at the different destinations, as well as even around my own neighborhood where, you know, I didn't know such and such existed, and it's like, wow, this is in my friggin' backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how many people sit there and say, this park has been here longer than I have, and I never knew the thing was here. It's amazing.
Yeah, doesn't make you laugh all those times. I mean, I don't do it much anymore because I've gotten all the caches in my area. It's like that, like finding all those, and you're like, well, I never knew that was there. Like,
yep.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really something. The other thing is also people. Now, a lot of times, Scott does one of these things that I've tried to do more myself, is when Scott has talked about in the past where he goes to a different place while traveling, he doesn't go to the standard restaurant, drive-through kind of stuff. He hits the local places.
Always. Oh, my God. Jesse makes me.
Oh, yeah.
It's always local. Yeah. Only local.
And all the people that you meet through that has just been amazing. When it comes
that's
to
what you should do, you know, we have two rules. You always eat local, and you eat what's on the title.
Yeah,
that's the two rules. That's it.
Yeah. Otherwise, yep. I never would have known what mountain oysters taste like. I'm just saying.
It kind of hurts, yeah. If you don't have a taste for what's on them, it kind of sucks. If it's you don't feel like eating what's in the title, but you got that's in the title. Yeah. That should be a staple for any restaurant you go to.
Yes.
See what's in the title.
Yeah.
That's what they're known for.
And it could make for some interesting meals.
Has. and you need to follow the rule that that comes with especially Southern cooking. Don't ask. Just don't ask.
Right. Oh, I love Southern cooking. It's so good.
Yeah.
Southern cooking is so good.
Yeah. You go to some place, I remember years ago I had taken one of my cohorts working down to Baton Rouge, and so we hit some of the actual local Cajun places where just the local yokels know where they're at, little holes in the wall. Mm-hmm. And he had never had Cajun before, and we're sitting there, and he's chewing on some andouille and going, and we're having gator, we're having all this fun stuff, and it's just awesome. Gator. Oh, oh God, it's awesome. Awesome food. And he's chewing on the andouille, and he looks at me, and the waitress is next to me, and he's like, wow, this is really good, what's in it? And I kind of looked at her, and she looked at me, and we just smiled and said, just keep eating. Have a good time.
Don't worry about the testicles you're currently eating. Don't worry about it.
No testicles in the andouille.
Nope. There's a lot of other interesting ingredients.
Jesse and I went down to West Virginia a few years ago to visit her father. Her dad lives out there with his wife. And we woke up the morning. You know, we got in really late. And we woke up about 7 in the morning. She had a Southern breakfast for us, all set for us. When I say it was like dinner, Southern breakfast is like dinner time.
Yeah, it's smothered and covered, baby.
The whole spread on the table. Mm-hmm.
The whole spread. Smothered and covered, baby. It's the way it should be.
I was so full. I had to go take a nap after.
Yeah, if you leave a Southern table hungry, it's your fault because there's just
so good. Oh, so good. Yeah. So it's all the places you've been, obviously. Yep. You know, and I've also have the friendships I've made. I've made some great friends through caching, you know.
Yep.
The 10 years that I've cached. I have friends I've had for all 10 years. It's amazing to think, like, I've known these people 10 years now. They're old friends now.
Yeah.
Now they're not even new friends. Or they're just old friends.
Yeah.
You know.
And just think of all the stuff, the folks that we've met in podcasting. All around the world, people that we know on a regular basis that we communicate one way or the other with. And like you said, old friends that it's just, hey, how's it going? And away you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm meeting people halfway across the country at an event and going out and caching all day like your best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah. The memories that you sit there and you go through with it is just, and one of the things that I noticed especially with geocaching is as you go through, there is no lack of stories. If you've geocached for a while, you always have something to break the ice when it comes to different things. And now we've had it so much for so long, we can categorize the stories on what you need to do.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You know, I've got Jesse, and I've got, you know, Cody Dog, and I've got Wheels 00. These people I've cached with for 10 years.
Yeah.
And oh my God, the things we've seen and the things we've done, you know, is just it's priceless. It's just too many to count, you know. We talk about old stories and swap stories from like 09 and 10 and 11. It's like I forget about them. Like, oh my God, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Like, you remember cool this? Thing. You remember right. doing that?
So yeah. You know, it's so funny, but you totally forget because you have so many.
Yes.
of the, yeah. You know, you've done so many things that you can't even remember it.
Yeah.
You know, which is sad. I should write them down or something because, like, it's amazing how you just, oh, you're like, oh my God, I totally forgot about that. That yeah. was amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the blessings that I think helped me a lot is through Google, where you can just dump all your photographs in now and go back yeah. to 8-10 years ago and just pop up. It's like that to me, it brings it instantly back. I could sit there and go back to 2008 and see where I was geocaching there. And it's like, I remember that. And, yeah. and it just brings it all back now. And now you can just categorize it by date. And right. Facebook does really, I think, a good job with that, because I'll get pictures that I put on Facebook from 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago and go, oh, and then oh, I can yeah. reshare them, which is yeah. awesome.
Well, I do that with TimeHop. TimeHop grabs from everything, even your you know, all your photos, all your social media, all that.
Yeah.
And this gives you it all by day. So every day you look at it and it tells you what you did, you know, what idiot tweet did I do, you know, 5 years ago, you know, kind of thing. You know, like, oh God.
Yeah. What's that called? Because I don't think I've ever played with that one.
TimeHop.
Time, you ever played TimeHop?
No.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Change, dude. Your world's going to change.
All right. I'm going to write that one down. I'm going to write that one down here. All right.
Yeah, TimeHop, dude. It's yeah, every day. Awesome. It gives you anything you did in social media that day. You look at it every day.
Oh, God.
And so you can see any tweet you did, any Facebook thing, any picture you put on, anything you did.
Yeah, you know, it's how interesting it is nowadays, because I've got like a 5 tera hard drive. I've got a couple of threes. I've got some ones. And even now, I just throw everything to the web. It just does it automatically through Google. Yeah. And I can't imagine how many, you know, when somebody says, okay, how many pictures do you have of you? I just laugh. It's like 100,000? I don't know. There's got to be, you know, of pictures of that I have put either on the blog or on the social network or whatever, doing something, and somebody's like, how many? It's like, yeah. No, I'm not that much of a narcissist, though I am beautiful. It's, you know, it's amazing how many people do, and it's only going to get worse.
I'd say 95% of my selfies are at virtuals.
Yeah, really?
Virtuals and earth caches and stuff okay. like that. So I love photography, and I love taking pictures of my family and backgrounds and scenery and stuff like that. But I don't particularly care for taking pictures of myself.
Oh.
And then when I hand my phone over to someone else to take a picture, they don't know how to shoot a shot.
All wrong.
It's like you do not know how to frame a friggin' image, people.
Yeah.
Learn how to frame an image.
Yeah. Of course, there
rule of thirds. Rule of thirds.
There's an app for that. I'm just thirds. Saying. Yeah, so learn the thirds.
One quick thing that Taz can appreciate moving forward in this, that me and Andy can, is having a spouse that also caches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So thankful for that.
I've had it both ways, man. I've had it where geocaching.
So have I. I've had it both ways.
Geocaching well. Was the devil, and that was my escapism, and I'll firmly agree with that. And then I got it the other where I've got this life partner that absolutely, she's yeah. the one that goes to me and says, we're right. going geocaching.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful that my wife allows me to go geocaching, and I'm thankful that my wife allows me to get some earth caches and some virtuals and maybe even a traditional or two when we're traveling.
Wow. That's sweet. That's
only,
nice.
Only my spouse can take a trip from Detroit to Chicago, okay, which is usually a 5-hour drive into a 12-hour drive.
Oh, done that. Been there, done yeah, that.
Easily. Only she could do that.
Yeah, my record so far is from North Carolina to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is normally 12 hours. We did it a couple of weeks ago in 12 hours. Zoom got there and got back. Was 18 hours
yeah.
to get
we
there.
We did Chicago to a 9-hour drive. We took a 17 hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's just... Yeah. That's how it is.
Yeah.
That's the limit we had.
It took me 14 hours to get from Atlanta to Asheville, North Carolina, when it's supposed to be a 6-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just part of the fun. And the fun part is when Amy goes, all right, we've already taken this route to get to here. Can we go through these two states so that I can pick up my stays going that way?
Yeah. Yes, North Carolina is only an hour. Jesse is out of our way. It's only an hour. Well, it's an hour both ways. That's 2 hours, Jesse. 2 hours. It's only 2 hours.
And then it's the yes, dear.
Another state.
Yes.
Another state. But then we go to Mayberry, and we spend 2.5 hours in Mayberry, so now it's 5 hours.
Oh, you got to eat at Aunt B's. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we're hunting caches in Mayberry. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Now my wife wouldn't go for an hour out of the way, and plus an hour back.
The only way we got a 13 icon day is because we had to go find a webcam an hour and a half out of the way.
Uh-huh.
One way. She's like, you want to go for it? I'm like, it's an hour and a half out of the way. She's like, it's a 13-hour day. It's a 13-hour, it's a 13-icon day. It's only 12 if we don't get that. Okay, so guess what we did?
You go again for it, yes. Bless them. I'll tell you what, they keep us going. They keep us going.
Now, my geocaching friends, when we were out in Seattle, we wound up taking a detour all the way down to Tacoma because it was like, we needed that, or I needed the camera, and I had done all the other webcams in the area except for that one.
Yeah.
So I was like, an hour out of the way, an hour back. Mm-hmm. I got my 13 icon day.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that she does that. That bitching and moaning the entire time we do it.
Uh-huh.
But then a week later, I'm like, hey, we got a 13 icon day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a... So I'm glad she sometimes makes me do stuff that I want to do because she knows that I'll appreciate it later.
Yeah, then you get the bragging rights. So
exactly,
I'm a bitch and moan the entire time, but still, so be it. Okay, so the fact that I have a spouse now that does it is much in having a knot, and I'm sure anybody would agree with me who has one.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It's so much better when they are, because that way it just is.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, because if you try doing the forgiveness as opposed to permission part, that only goes so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's see. Something Sarah did have in here for this. She's thankful for the COs and also the reviewers who've taken the trouble to place and maintain the caches that she's found. Oh, yeah, absolutely. This game is absolutely, based on the cache owners that are out there and for the reviewers keeping things straight. I'm still curious if anybody's heard anything about the burying stuff. That kind of fell on the wayside. Oh, no. I have not heard anybody say anything about it yet.
The burying stuff?
Yes, where you're allowed to bury a cache.
Burying.
Yeah.
Okay. Burying. B-U-R-Y.
Right.
I was getting the...
Not B-E-R-I-N-G. Like bearing, like a ball bearing?
Taking a bearing.
Or taking a bearing, yes.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
waypointing.
If you use a bear as a canoe, you go bearing.
Yes.
Down the stream.
I'm just going to leave that right there.
Barely, barely, barely. Barely.
But yeah, good stuff. Let's see. For the people who found my caches and left interesting logs for others to read. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think you can also
get interesting locks on them.
That and interesting anymore. Swag along the years. Most interesting swag thing that you've ever found.
Digital camera.
A digital camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bong.
A bong?
It was the first to find thing. A bong, a B-O-N-G?
Yes, a water bong. As in it's now legal in California.
Now it is.
Hits from the?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it legal in California to take hits from the bong?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got shops now and everything for stuff like that. Big caterpillar in the middle of the room. I'm just saying. But
I'm a youth.
Uh-huh. Now, the interesting part that I, the one that I thought was interesting is the, how do you put it? Let's just say the banana cover that I found in wrapper.
What? Prophylactic?
Yes. Let's just say the thing that helps guys not have more guys. I'm just 97%? Yeah.
To quote a movie.
I thought that was interesting swag. I don't know if that was made for the
condom.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't used. It was still in the wrapper and everything was there. It's just okay. Okay.
That's courtesy.
It's kind of disturbing
saying,
kids.
Yeah, look, mommy, it's a balloon. Yeah.
It was like this one person.
I really want that action figure and that thing, but I have nothing to give. What can I give? All I have is a condom.
Yeah, I got a condom in my wallet, so let's, you know, trade equal or better? I don't know. I just...
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, someone put a stick of gum, chewing gum. It was in a wrapper in a Altoids tin that was under a skirt lifter. And, of course, it was covered in ants.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, I sent the, you know, posted a note like, yeah, thanks, but do not put food. Edibles, yeah. Items in there because it will attract ants. And, well, this was in Houston. There were fire ants.
Oh, so. Yeah, that makes it lovely.
So I, you know, I took the tin, threw it up in the air, let it bounce off the sidewalk, threw it up in the air again, let it bounce again, and shaking the fire ants off me, and then opened it up and you know, realized what the what caused it, which was the stick of gum.
Yay!
Because they didn't get to the gum; they just got the ants on the can.
They had actually managed to like get underneath the paper, and they had taken pieces of the gum.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Hey, you know, fire ants got to do what a fire ant's got to do.
Worst I found? I found poop. That's the worst. Poop.
Nah.
Some poop on the dash.
Wow.
I thought a fresh pile of doggy doo was possibly a fake doggy doo.
And it wasn't.
Fake. And it wasn't.
That's where poke it with a stick really comes in handy.
Yes. Well, I didn't have a stick. I used my shoe.
Oh, and
then I proceeded to wipe my shoe off.
Oh.
I was like, yep, that's not it. I was first to find on the cash, though.
Well, obviously not.
First to find the poo.
Oh, jeez.
The poo and the cash.
Yeah.
The poo and the cash.
It was a very, very unique hide.
I'm thinking. That just raises the question of how the poo got involved with the cash.
Did you put in your log? Fun fact, it's not the poo.
Yes. Something along those effects. I mentioned the incident with the poo.
Spoiler alert.
Yep.
Not the poo.
It's not the poop. So yeah, that's you know, we've scratched the surface of things with to be thankful for, and I don't think we can top the poop. So
how about the technology? All the technology.
You know that is
how this game has changed in 10 years.
I mean,
ten years.
It's amazing. I mean, I remember, you know, like I've shown the logbook that I still have, writing everything down by hand of everything. Printing out reams and reams and reams of paper just to find 12 or 14 geocaches in a day. You know.
So I'm thankful for Steve Jobs. Bringing out Jobs.
Absolutely. I mean, just for trying to explain to a kid these days what a paperless geocaching means, or before paperless geocaching. It's like they have no clue. There's no way that they could possibly realize what it took to just get set up to go geocaching.
Gosh. It's all on your phone.
This is life. I tell my son a story, and he's like, well, why don't you just use your phone? I'm like, hello? Hello?
We had pay phones.
Yeah. Why didn't they just? Shane actually said to me, my 7-year-old, so what's a payphone?
Oh, yeah.
The other day, I had to take him a payphone. Toby, we were walking to Walmart years ago, 5-6 years ago. Toby's like, Dad, what's that? Like, it's a payphone. What's a payphone?
Oh, yeah.
I showed him. It's the first time he ever heard a dial tone before. He's like, what's that sound?
Really?
Like, it's a dial tone.
Oh, my God. Do you imagine?
And me and Jesse are talking in the car. Wait, hold on. So Jesse and I are talking in the car the other day, and Shane's in the car with us, and Shane and Jesse mentions a payphone, and Shane's like, what's a payphone? I'm like, oh, buddy, it's a phone. You got to put money in, and it works. You don't have money more because you have a cell phone. It's like, that's weird. I'm like, what that is.
Yeah,
weird.
If you had to call somebody of any distance, it cost you X number of dollars in coins to
cock on. Yeah, you put a quarter. It costs money.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
it's just weird. Different world, man.
Try explaining to a millennial what a computer handshake sounds like and why. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I know, man.
I mean,
my kid's asking, why'd you use your phone, Dad?
Just use the phone. Well, hell, how use your phone when you're 50? How magical is it where we figured out how to do tethering? With the initial phones, just to get them to hook up so that we could do stuff with the computers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You can't go down that rabbit hole. We'll be here till 10 o'clock.
Oh, at least. Yeah. I mean, it's just so much stuff with technology they take for granted now. And
so,
now,
yeah, going into my 10th year next year. Well, next year will be my 10th year in
me
July.
Too.
So it's, you know, it's amazing to me that a decade has gone by and I'm still doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty amazing. You know, so
yeah, think of how many other sports or activities in the world that you stay with, like that we have.
And not only that, but it's something that like determines where I go on vacation and determines, like, you know, it's like, okay, where are we going for vacation? Well, where can we cash?
Not many.
You know, it's, you know, we usually decide where we're going by what has the best caches.
Yeah.
You know, as we're found, you know, yeah. So something that 10 years later can still do that is pretty, you know.
Well, a lot of that too for me is there's times where we're like, okay, where do you want to go geocaching? And you'd literally take a map and throw a dart at it, and it's like,
yeah,
there we're going. That's where we're going. Yeah.
So. Well, it's the joy every year for geocaching day. I have to try and find where we're going to go.
Yeah,
where we're going to go next year.
Yeah,
where are we going this year?
So
always trying to find that area. Big hit, you know, lots of hits.
Speaking of which,
go ahead.
You got a month before for jewel caching. I think next week we should do a promotion on jewel caching for the show.
Not so, next week. Do it in like 2 weeks.
You want to do it in 2 weeks? Okay.
Yeah, it's too far away. I don't even think about it until after Thanksgiving.
Okay, so it's, fair enough. Well, that is tomorrow, so I'm just saying.
I know, but like, I don't even think about it until December, early December. I can't because I get too excited and figure stuff out. It's like, I just sit down and I have to like look at a map and try and figure it out. And all that.
Okay, so let's do that on the 6th.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks, and we'll do a full blown promotion for jewel caching and see what we can get for going for that. That'll be fun. I love talking about it. And as it is, because of Scott Burks, every time we come up to a Chinese restaurant that's just packed. And we're like, what is it, Christmas?
Jews. And so, Jews.
Oh, God, good stuff. All right, well, we want to thank...
Think of the movie theater. You ever see a movie sold out? It's like, what is it? What is it? It's like all Jews on Christmas.
Exactly.
Jews on Christmas.
But now that's built into our whole behavioral pattern. It's just, it's part of it. It's great. All right. Yeah. Want to thank Scott, and we want to thank Chad for tonight. Excellent stuff. And we want to thank you fine folks for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. I think it's time to put a fork in it because this turkey's done. All right, let's hit this. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burns, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.